your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you your cross, follow Jesus, take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you time. Let's sing it together. Pick up your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day.
Church tonight. I sure enjoyed the services this weekend. Brother Andrew just did a fabulous job. Just really thankful for the gift that brother has. He's been a real blessing to us. We got several prayer requests. I just want to see if Brother Rob Weber wouldn't mind to come pray over these. Please remember Sister Brenda Harmon in continued prayer. The doctors have informed her she has 2 kidney stones in each kidney. She's experiencing a lot of pain. Just remember her. Don and Patty Cooper, his brother-in-law, passed away. The wake tonight, funeral tomorrow. That's in Kentucky. Let's remember that family. Please pray for Sister Ann Nestor and her family from Virginia. Her mother passed away today. Remember those folks. Pray for Sister Retha McQueen. She had a stroke and is in the Johnson City Medical Center. So very serious need there. Brother Stewart turns in request here. A co-worker's house was robbed. I'm just asking for prayer for him. Pinky and Phyllis Phillips turns in a request for their daughter Michelle Lloyd. She has pneumonia in both lungs and they found a cancer nodule on her lung. So let's remember that. Remember Gabriel Hare in prayer had his wisdom teeth removed today. And then finally, Emily Potter at home sick. Also nephew Clinton Patrick fighting cancer, very ill. Brother Wes turns that in. Let's just stand tonight and join us, Brother Rob, and take these needs to the Lord.
I would ask too, I have some dear friend that has cancer, pancreatic cancer. His name is Ted. If you remember him in prayer, let's go to the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you once again for coming to you, the ability to come to you. Lord, we come with expectations, as we were taught this weekend. Have expectations until we see the manifestation in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we come to you boldly and full of grace, Lord, as we come to your throne. I pray, Lord God, with these prayer requests in hand, with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving in our hearts, for opportunity for you to manifest yourself on the scene. Help us to be sincere as a body, as a little group here that you've assembled. Help us to be sincere and see the power of God come before us, Lord. The gospel is power and word and power and demonstration, Lord. Not just talk, not endless talk, Lord, but actually that you would confirm our faith by signs following what we believe. I pray, Lord God, make us right in your eyes. Help the righteous man, for it availeth much. Help us to pray together as a body. Thank you for the grace you bestowed upon us. And thank you, Lord, for the the older people in our congregation. Thank you for the younger people, Lord, that bind us together. I pray, Lord God, that we come together as a unit. In your name we pray, in your character, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rob. You can be seated tonight. Restart that for us here.
Yes. I saw way one traveler in tattered garments clad, struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy. His strength was almost gone. But he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come.
Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall
shining, the sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed mighty slow, but he kept pressing onward, for he was going home, still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come.
Then all the victory crown.
Below, he saw that golden city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come.
Then palm of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall.
Way to heaven. The brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight. And I think Brother John Linichek has a song for us tonight. Is Brother John here? Yep. All right. If you'll be getting ready to sing as soon as we get the offering there. And then Sister Wyco, I think, has a song for us when Brother John gets done. Let's sing Highway to Heaven together.
Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter. Walking up the King's highway, and there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. Walking up the King's highway, it's a
none can walk up. I knew I'd been changed, my sins were forgiven. For when I touched Jesus, He made me whole. For trusting in Jesus, He'll make you understand, but I know
Appreciate our singers tonight. Let's stand, if you will, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring the word to us. He's been on a hunting trip, which I've been on hunting trips with him before. It means a whole lot of studying, so we should be in store for something really good tonight. Let's sing together. I'm amazed. Well, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed.
Aren't you glad? Just sing it. Whoa, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how much you care. Lord, we found pardon. Our sins are washed. They're all washed away. Sing it again. Let's sing it. That you love me, I'm so amazed how much you care. Precious blood I found pardon. They're washed away. Lord, they're washed away. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Oh, Lord, what an honor it is to think that our sins are washed away. And it's not like they're just washed off of us and they're still laying somewhere where they can be seen, but they're totally destroyed, annihilated in the sea of your forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. How thankful we are, Lord. I pray we never take that for granted. I pray it never becomes common and old to us, Lord, the price that you paid so that we could stand here tonight and sing this song and sing it in reality, to know that we are fully redeemed, ransomed, the price has been paid, and we belong to you. Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being able to gather together again. We thank you that you're so mindful of all of our needs and all the things we go through in life. Pray that you'd take your word tonight and speak to us, Lord, the things that we have need of. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You love him with all your heart?
Amen.
Good to be together, isn't it?
Amen.
My, if you folks ain't a sight for sore eyes. Sure good to see you and sure missed you when I was gone. Heard you had some really good services.
Yes,
always makes a pastor's heart feels good, feel really good whenever I hear that the Lord has moved among you. You know, I was always funny about my girls. I was really funny about who whooped them. Now, maybe that's just a strain that's in me. I don't know. Maybe y'all didn't care who whooped your kids. I was kind of funny about who whooped mine. Praise the Lord. I'm kind of feel that way about you all, too. Evangelists, great speakers, this, that, and the other. Every preacher's going to preach correction. But I'm kind of funny about who whoops on my young ones. What's the matter? Y'all don't appreciate that about me? Now, I know you don't believe that sometimes the way I whoop on you. But that's love. That's right, Brother Charlie. That's what it is. So glad to be together again. Let's read tonight, if you would, Numbers chapter 25. We'll read verse 1 through verses 4. The lives of the prophets. Amen. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, how can a God of love get mad? Y'all believe God is love?
Yes.
So is he love in the Old Testament or just the New, or he always has been?
Always has been.
So he can always has been love, and yet he can get angry? Upset. See, that's a side this age certainly don't want to hear about God, is it? And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of his words. You may be seated. God truly is love. But that's not the only thing he is. God is light. God is righteous. God is pure. God is holy. So when we go to describing God, to take one of his attributes and say, well, God is love, and preach, that's all that we preach about God, we're not preaching the fullness of God. Now, if you introduce me as just being an I, okay, this is Brother Donnie. Now, I'm not sure what your motive would be if you'd say, that is Brother Donnie, or that is Brother Donnie. No, that's Brother Donnie's foot. And that's Brother Donnie's hand, and that's Brother Donnie's hair, and Brother Donnie's eyes. So whenever we just preach that God is love, we're not just preaching all that God is. Now, it's difficult because of the soft, easy, lax Laodicean age that we live, to where the people want excuse to be able to live in the way they want to live. And they want to project it in such a way that it's totally acceptable in the eyes of God. And whenever we look at things like we're going to look at tonight, it totally, totally overwhelms that concept. But we believe the word, right? Let's look in verse 3 again. Israel joined himself by taking part of the sacrificial offering. This is, now keep in mind, Moses writes this according to the way that it would have happened in that day. To us, you know, it doesn't make any sense, really, us thinking, well, join, so we would relate to it in the way we would think. Well, Brother Gene joined himself to Brother Wes. Brother Gene and them joined themselves to Brother Darrell. So we think, well, they just went over and had a little fellowship and they talked. But Moses is writing it now with actually what happened in that day. Notice the way he says it. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. By joining, they took part of the sacrificial meals. So now they're setting, they're eating, they're fellowshipping. It's not like that you'd go out with somebody at Shoney's after church and sit down and get a hamburger together. Well, we'll just have a little fellowship. No, this is a meal which is set aside for heathen idol worship. So it's not like having breakfast with somebody, lunch with somebody. This is a meal which is designated for idol worship. This meal is the preliminary part to get them into immorality. Now, Israel knows this because they've seen it before. So watch what Israel does. Israel joins himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Now, here it is, the mixing of the people. Bad company leads to bad habits. Bad company leads to bad habits. Now, remember, this is the teaching of a prophet, the prophet Balaam. This is not the prophecy of Balaam, but the teaching of Balaam. So Balaam has now taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block to before the children of Israel. Now, this is, of course, something that's unusual to us, but in this worship of Baal Peor, this one was actually Chemosh. And you'll find the name of Baal Peor, you'll find the name Baal Chemosh, you'll find the name Baal according to where they would worship him at. This was Peor because it was a Mount Peor. So they would take the god and they would merge the name of the god with the name of the location. Baal Peor. Baal Chemosh, which is the name of the god, and the name Baal, of course, God itself. Now here they're identifying it with the place where they're going to do this, and this is at this particular mount, Peor. So he's Baal Peor. But in this, they're not just going to eat. They're not just going to shake hands, hug one another's necks, but part of their worship is going to lead in immorality, sexually speaking. Now, watch what they're going to do, because the rites and the rituals of Chemosh, in order to bring fertility on their land, was to offer a child sacrifice or a virgin young daughter sacrifice. And because much of the heathens, of the Canaanites, their religion involved all of this, they would have tents that would be set up. So they would have a temple to worship, and then they would have a tent set apart. In there, they would go into the tent, and there they would have these immoral acts. And these acts were part of their worship. So first of all, they eat. They have fellowship. They join together. Then they're going under today what we would call the spirit of denomination, which is the same spirit of fornication. So then they start worshiping and fellowshipping together, and then they go into spiritual immorality in this day, because it was a natural act then. They would come in, they would sit down and eat the meal which was offered unto idols, and then they would pick them out a woman or a man, depending on what they were, and then they would go through with these sinful, terrible acts. Now watch. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now remember, this is the very same God that had anointed Balaam to speak such great, profound words, and these words could not be broken because they were prophecy. But through the error of this teaching, the people are now going to force the hand of God to bring his wrath and discipline against them. The devil could not do this himself. The false prophet Balaam could not do this, but they could. Now, you realize, no matter how much people hate me, their hatred will never force the hand of God to deal with me and reprimand. People can lie on me, they can talk about me, they can hate me so bad that they wish they could kill me. But that'll never force God to treat me ill one way at all. There's no way. But what will force God to do that is my own behavior. Now, people can hate you, they can run you down, they can talk about you. Don't worry about that. That's not going to force the hand of God. They can go to God, "God, I don't like Jim Babb. I hate that man. I can't stand him." Don't worry about that. God will never be motivated to move on you by their evil intentions. But if you and I do something then that breaks the word, all their hatred could never do it. But our disobedience can bring more upon us in punishment than all the world's hatred together. You see, this is a principle that the devil understands, that sometimes the people of God don't want to believe. They want to accept somehow the fact, well, I'm saved, I'm elect, I'm bride, I can get by with more. No, my friends, the bride don't get by with more. More is required of us. Praise the Lord. We're special people in that we're called of God. That don't mean that we can get by with more and more sin. Well, we can live anyway. We cannot live anyway. Now, Israel is fixing to find this out firsthand. Now, this fall into idolatry, it comes in one step after another after another. Of course, they would never go into this immorality first off, but they start out with fellowshipping and eating a meal, even though they know it's offered unto idols. Well, I'm not exactly doing it to Baal. I'm worshiping Jehovah. You know, God knows my heart, and I'm okay in this. It's all right for me to do it. Now, I want you to read this with me. This fall in morality was soon followed by their fall in religion. Baal was a general name for Lord, and Peor for a mount in Moab. The real name of this Lord and of the mount was Chemosh, whose worship was celebrated by the grossest obscenity. Archaeological discoveries have revealed that the devotees of Baal practiced prostitution as part of their worship. This sordid practice was adopted by the Israelites. Now see the same spirit of organization. It is spiritual prostitution against the Word of God. Now, naturally, in the Old Testament, they had to commit the act. Spiritually, when we receive a creed, a dogma, the headship of man over the headship of the Word, we're doing the same thing spiritually that they did naturally. Right, very same thing. Watch this now in verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Now here God has been provoked, not because God is a mean God, not because God is hateful and just looking for something to lose his temper over, but God has been provoked by the disobedience of the people. Now this is what brings out the wrath of God, which must be expressed in God's own diligence and God's righteousness. It was the same thing with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was not God looking for an opportunity to punish Adam. God did not want to throw Adam out. He did not want to throw Eve out. But once they done something, no doubt there was an attribute that their disobedience brought out in God they'd never seen before. We never find them ever being afraid until they left from behind that veil. And whenever they left from behind that veil, what did Adam do? He hid himself in the trees and in the bushes. And he saw God speak in such a way, it probably alarmed him. It probably frightened his flesh, brother, because he had never heard God use that tone of voice. God didn't need to. God never needed to use that tone of voice before. What made God change that tone of voice? Their disobedience. It's the same thing with the preaching of the word sometimes. Boy, you think, man, a lot of them preachers, boy, they seem awful hard. You understand what it is? A lot of it, it's your own lives, our own lives. We live beneath what God wants us to be, and God will change his tone of voice through the voice of many waters, the ministry. We know our Father well enough to know he'd rather speak to us kind and sweet and loving words. Why does he not do that sometimes? It's because of us. It's not because of him. Now watch out what the scripture said. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Now notice what this is, the heads. These are the princes of the tribes. Not to hang them up, but to judge them first. Now they're going to be judged, and then they're going to be hung up before the Lord. So these are the princes of the tribes that have become involved. Notice it's not just laity that is doing this. It is leaders among the people of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the tribes and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. Those that are guilty of this idolatry. Now look, it's not just the janitor. It's not just the guy that picks up paper off the parking lot, but it was some of the main leadership in the message. Some of the main tribal leaders that have begun to get involved in this move. And what does God say? Well, because y'all are preachers and trustees and deacons and all that sort of thing, we can't reprimand you. That's not the way God looks at it, friend. God holds me responsible. I'm more accountable than you are. The preachers are more accountable. The deacons, the people who have a position at an office, we're held more accountable than the laity are. Is that right? God don't let us get by with it. Absolutely not. That is not God's way. Notice then what God said. The fierce anger of the Lord. This is why they've got to do it. God, I want you to set them up before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Call, and you know where they're going to hang them at? They're going to hang them near the church, the tabernacle. Isn't that amazing that they're going to pronounce this judgment and they're going to kill these guys? A God of love is going to have his children killed. He's going to have their heads removed from their bodies and they're going to be hung up by the church. Well, they believe in going to church. So if you come to church and there was your grandpa's head, what's that going to do to you? Ah! But if you got any sense at all, he's going to say, I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to do what grandpa done. I don't want my head hung up there. So you don't hide it back in a holler somewhere. Where do you hide it at? Where do you put it? In church. Where do you hang it? Don't you understand why when we come to the house of God, we got to be corrected? Ain't you ever had your head hung up on the walls of the tabernacle? I have. I've had my hide tucked up many a time on the wall of the tabernacle. Come on. I thank God for it, though. I thank God there's grace for me. Aren't you glad that we can come to the house of God, and if we're wrong, Lord, and help us to get right? Amen. So where is this justice going to take place? At the tabernacle. Amen. No wonder the scripture said, now judgment began at the house of God. Thank God it still does. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel. Now this is where it's going to start. Slay ye every one his men. Oh my goodness. So here a God of love is speaking to a prophet that has love, which is speaking to judges who have love, and they're killing people out of love. Is there anybody in this whole group that had any love? Not what modern day people would call love. Now modern day people would say, well, if they really had love, they'd let them all live. That ain't love. That's not real love. No. Now, Moses is being instructed by God. He, in turn, gives the direction to the judges and tells them, slay ye every one his men, here's the connection, that were joined unto Baal Peor. Now, they're not just at random going out there, well, I don't like you, I never did like you, I'll go ahead and kill you under this whole regime. No, sir, it's directed toward those who've disobeyed the word of God. You mean because they're princes and tribal leaders, they're not going to get by with it? Absolutely not. Oh, my. Now, watch how brazen that sin can become on those who are privileged. You know, it seems to be that those who are privileged in life shines across their path. That when many times people like that turn away from truth, they become more brazen and bold with their sin than somebody that's never been exposed to the truth. Now watch this in verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Now remember, Balak was a Moabite. Watch what had happened here. The Midianite people had merged together with the Moabites. What was it? A denominational gathering of the mixing of the ites. Against who? The people of God. Notice who this man brings into the tent. Not a Moabite, but a Midianitish woman. They'd come together. Why? Israel was their enemy. Listen, friend, don't you understand where the press will come in the last days? It'll all merge together. The denomination of church, the people who's left, the message, all of that, they will all have one common enemy. And you know who that'll be? You. They don't agree a bit more than nothing, but they have one common enemy. And on that, they can agree you are a cult. And you need to be got rid of. You need to be hushed up. You know, you need to be this, that, and other. That's exactly what took place with Pilate and Herod. They were enemies, but when Jesus come on the scene, they had one common enemy, and that was the Lord Jesus. But read your history, and you'll find out after the Lord Jesus left the earth, that common enemy was gone. They went back their separate ways. Wow, they couldn't get along. The Baptists can't get along with the Methodists. They can't get along with the Catholic. Can't get along with the Pentecostal. But if they can rally around one common foe, that gives them a unison. But aren't you glad the bride is uniting around the revealed word? We're not reviled. Oh my, well, we hate them people. We don't hate nobody. We hate sin. We're not rallying because we're against this denomination. We hate these people. Then no, that's not the way we rally. We are uniting on the revealed word of this hour. But we will become their common enemy. But grant it to be so, because when that arrives, we'll be ready to go home. Now watch what this man does. One of the children of Israel. Listen how emphatic that Moses makes this. One of the children of Israel. Not an outsider, not an infidel, not an unbeliever, but one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren. Now you imagine, it was not enough for this man to go into this woman, into this tent, and live the way he did over yonder. But he becomes so brazen and bold that he actually brings this Midianitish woman to do the same act right among his brethren. Don't you understand why preachers got to cry out sometimes? Don't you understand whenever we see sin or we feel something moving in the church that you got to cry out against it? Why? It's the very same thing taking place. It's Satan trying to move right among the brethren. Oh my. God help us. Notice what he done. Unto his brethren, a Midianitish woman. Cozbi, of course, is her name. Daughter of Zur. A Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now look at the setting. Here's Moses and here's the sincere message believers that still fear God and fear his prophet. And they're crying and they're weeping. My, my, 1,000 men have been killed. 1,000 men have been slain. 1,000 leaders have been slain before them. And the elect of God are looking at these men hanging there on the walls or near the walls of the tabernacle. Their hearts are broken. They're weeping. They're crying. And what happens? One of these message guys brings this woman in and goes right past his brothers that are weeping at the altar. Here's a prophet of God crying and lamenting before God. And this man comes right by him. Don't even act like it's no big deal at all. What you so tore up about? I'm elect. I'm bride. I can do this and that and the other. God will let me get by with it. No, he won't, friend. I said, no, he won't. Oh, my Lord Jesus. You talking about a brazen act for this man. It was one thing to do it out yonder, but to bring it right in the message. To bring it right in the church. I'll show you. Nobody's going to tell me this and that and the other. Oh my. Now listen to me. What this man done was unforgivable. You can sin and you can do wrong and you can repent and ask God. But there's some things there is no repentance for. And this man crosses the line. Unforgivable. And what was it? Saying there was no God? No. Bringing his sin right back in the church. Right in front of the prophet. Right in front of the saints. Right in front of the people. Oh my. God, it offended God to such a place. It grieved God to such a degree that he would not forgive him. Lord Jesus. Notice, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now watch, these 1,000 men have died. The plague has now broke out. So 1,000 men were killed by tribal leaders, the judges. Once that has happened, a mysterious plague begins to break out among them. Before it's done, 24,000 people will die.
By now, thousands of them are gasping for breath. Hundreds of them are laying dead. And this man comes right among them. And Moses is weeping. The singers are weeping. Hallelujah. The true, sincere hearted elect are weeping and crying, God, be merciful to us. God, be merciful to us. And this sinner comes right by him. You bunch of religious fanatics. You don't have to be that way to serve God. Look at me. I'm Israel. Look at me. We'll look at you in a few minutes, sir. Oh, my. Notice verse 7. Verse 7. Completion is number 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. Now, there ain't no way this man's got any love. This is the way you're going after God's people? With a javelin? Praise the Lord. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Now, what was it that stirred this man? Moses never moves. The rest of the elders never move. No singers do anything. But something moves this man. He can't take it no more. He's actually praying. He's seeking God. He's beseeching the face of the Almighty for mercy, lest the congregation be destroyed. And when he sees this man pass by with this Midianitish woman, and he knows his intent, he knows exactly what he's planning on doing. And what does he do? He raises up from the prayer meeting and gets a javelin. Can you imagine leaving the altar of prayer and reaching and getting a javelin? Praise the Lord. Now you see, you let me see what your attitude is toward this man. I'll tell you whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. It's very simple. It's very simple. Because you see, I don't know God's attitude toward this man. And if your attitude ain't the same as God's, you don't have His Spirit living in you. That's just all there is to it. That's exactly right. Now what? So he raises up. Well, why? Why? Is he mean? Is he hateful? Is he contrary? He wants to stop this thing from moving among the rest of the congregation. Does he want to kill this man? Does he have an heart? Is there an intention or motive there? No, sir. He does it for the glory of God. For the honor of the rest of the camp. Did he face the risk of being misunderstood? Sure he did. Did he face the risk of being misunderstood even by his brothers? That they would think, how could this man have love? Love? How would love kill a man? I look at it the other way. How would true love let this man live? Praise the Lord. Now watch. So here he raises up. Watch how Moses now blends this part of the drama together. So in verse 7, now Phinehas gets up from praying. Maybe dries his eyes. And something so moves in this man. Probably the first time he'd ever felt in his life like this. Because we're going to find out who it was in a minute. Hallelujah. Now remember, it couldn't just be any man. If a lay person had rose and done this, it would not have been accepted in the eyes of God in the way it was going to be accepted. But it was a man in heaven that was called in position. This man was fixing to become high priest. If a musician would have rose and done this, God would have not reacted the same way. So it had to be in the order of correction of the order of God. There might have been other people, but the rest of them were so tore up about it and so bothered about it. Maybe they thought about it, but they was not called to do it. Why? God must have a priest. Amen. Hallelujah! It must be a priest to make atonement for the sins of the people. Glory be to God. Now watch, here this man raises up. Now Moses changes the camera from off of Phinehas. He's standing there with his zeal, with this in his hand. Now he moves the camera, as it were, over to this man in verse 8. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. The word tent in the Hebrew there is kubah, a high and vaulted pleasure tent used in the worship of Baal. Mama. Notice, and he thrust both of them through. He went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Now, I don't have to be too plain for you to understand what they were doing. With one thrust of a spear, he killed them both. And this man's got love? A God of love looked at this and said, I approve of what you've done. Praise the Lord. Come on, children. If he approved of it then, he approves of men of God. It's anointed by the Holy Ghost in the right office doing it spiritually today. And that means he disapproves of men who are cowards that won't correct it too. That's exactly right. Oh my. Watch what he does now. He takes this javelin and spear. They move into the tent to conduct their lewdness, their filthy way of living. And he finds them right in there and he takes us. Who is it though? It's not the song leader. It's not the deacon doing it. It's not the trustee. It is the priest of God. Amen. Why? An atonement must be made. I hope you can understand the direction I'm fixing to go. An atonement must be made. It is not going to be made with an animal's blood. It's not going to be made with sheep. It's not going to be made with incense. It must be made with the lives of the sinners. Oh my. He went out to the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. And notice what happens. And the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. You mean this man kills two people with one thrust and God stops the plague? Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I feel led of the Holy Ghost to preach against television, if I feel led of the Holy Ghost to preach against folks listening to the wrong kind of music and dressing the wrong kind of way and doing the wrong sort of thing, if one man done that, my Lord, what in the world could the Lord do right here tonight? What'll it do? It'll stop the plague maybe from going to your children and then passing on down to your grandchildren. If I, by me and other anointed men of God, can help stop the plague of unbelief in your house, then it'll stop it from being inherited by your children. Amen, children. It'll stop from going through our church. Why? Because the plague was stopped. Because one anointed by the Holy Ghost stood up and said, this can't go on any longer. Now listen, this was actually an act of intercession. This is why a song leader couldn't do it. The song leaders are called in this church right here to lead singing, not to preach, not to administer discipline, not to teach doctrine, so on and so on and so on, right? The deacons in the church are called here. We know their position. The trustees, the brothers in the back run the sound system, this, that, the other. But there are others that are called to administer in throwing javelins. Praise God. Oh, Brother Donnie, it can be dangerous. Not unless you're in the wrong tent doing something you shouldn't do. You ain't got nothing to worry about unless you're with a Midianitish woman doing something you ought not do. Don't worry, I'm a good aim. I'm better than any laser scope you ever seen in your life because I'm directed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't going to burn Brother Joel's hide for something he ain't doing. He ain't going to burn your hide, Brother John, for there's something you ain't doing. But boy, he sure knows how to get a hold of us whenever we're wrong, don't he? And he'll send that javelin right into the tent. It'll come right into our heart, boy, and cut us right to the quick. But thank God we've not crossed the line like this man did. Thank God when the Holy Ghost sends out anointed word, it makes a way of repentance. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Amen. Forgive me, Lord. Notice this. Phineas actually makes an act of intercession. I know this seems peculiar because of so many passages in the scripture that it seems to point to only a blood of an innocent one. But there's actually 22 passages of scripture where atonement was made other than blood. God's justice must be appeased. No, he don't ask for a lamb. He don't ask for a turtle dove or a pigeon. But Christ anoints Phineas. Don't you see who this is in type? Don't you see who this is? What did Christ do? He took that javelin of the word and pierce the original sin of the first man and woman. It could not be the devil that would take our sin. It could not be Moses. It could not be Michael the archangel. It had to be the high priest. Hallelujah. It had to be the high priest that would come out of the house of God and say, I will do it. I'll pin their very sin. And by doing that, he said, I have made an atonement. And the justice of God was met in the person of the Lord Jesus. And God said, I'm calmed down with the sin situation. Hallelujah. My anger is appeased because my Phineas Christ has made the atonement. As the life of an animal substitute was accepted so many times, now the lives of the sinners will be accepted to appease the wrath of God. Amen. You imagine this man was a priest. He loved God's people. This might have been somebody kin to him. Might have been a nephew, uncle. We don't know exactly who all he was. Might have been, we know it was kin because it's children of Israel. You imagine how difficult this was? You're not just killing an unbeliever, but you're killing a message person at the same time. You're killing them. What would you have done? You'd want to sit down and counsel them a little bit, put your arms around them, and try to love on them a little bit. Well, come on and sit in church. And, you know, that's okay. We don't want nobody else to do it, but that's all right. Come on and sit down. Don't you understand what you're doing? You're inviting that right in the house of God. Watch this. In Psalms 106, verse 30. This is David now saying, then stood up Phineas and executed judgment. Oh, my Lord. Then stood up Phineas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed. Why? Because the justice of God was met in the judgment of this man. And it was administered by who? Not an angel. Not an archangel. But a man in the right office. Can't you see the importance of a prophet coming down through the age? Can't you see why we didn't need a pastor in this end time? We didn't need an evangelist. We needed a prophet. Thank God for our Bible. Don't you love your Bible? But let me tell you something, friend. We not only needed the Bible. We needed that Bible to become an open book. We'd still be in the ignorance of Trinitarianism and women, preachers, and tongues being the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But God said, before I smite the earth with a curse, I'll send Elijah the prophet. And what will it do? It'll turn my wrath away from my elect. If it hadn't been for that, we'd been under the judgment of God. But God said, no, I'll send Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And his message will turn the hearts of my children back to the original word. And he will stand there in the breach and bring the word of God. Hallelujah. Notice David goes on to say in verse 31, that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Amen. For killing two people? So does the majority of the world today understand righteousness? Do they understand love? Do they understand God? And if it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't either. Now watch, just go back to Numbers 25:9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. How many believe the word of God is perfect? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. So which was it? 24,000 according to the book of Numbers, or 23,000 according to the book of Corinthians? Now come on, some of you doctors and theologians. Some of you that want to nitpick a prophet and try to say it over here and say it over there. Bring out your nitpicking brain now, nitpicker. Come on, children. But now if you take it just the way it's written, it seems as if though there's a mistake. But a little bit of understanding clears up mistakes that are thought to be mistakes. Now the way that where Moses worded it, it seems as if though they died in the plague. But a little bit of understanding and a little bit of light on the subject brings it real clear. If you take 23,000 people that die by the plague, 1,000 that are killed by the elders, you add them together and you got 24,000 here. But when Paul writes about it in Corinthians, he only mentions about the plague only, not the 1,000 whose heads was hung up on the wall. Amen. No mistakes. It's the same way with many of the things that people are trying to pick and say, Brother Bram said this and said that. They're only lacking one thing, understanding. But if you're looking for faults, you'll find them. But if you're looking for the rapture, you'll find that too. So it really depends on what you're looking for. When I go to finding things like this in the scripture, I don't try to look. Oh, there's a fault. There's a mistake. There's something somewhere. I go to looking and say, nope, my daddy wouldn't give me a road map and no mistakes in it. My daddy would not give me a GPS that would lead me over here and around the tree and over there. He gotta give me one that'll get me to heaven and put me straight on the path. And that's the same way I feel about this message. Now watch in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. One man, by carrying out judgment at the house of God. I tell you what, friends, you forgive us, preachers, sometimes if we're too zealous. But you see, when we see things moving in around the world and around the churches, any true man of God that loves God's people wants to cry out. And I grant you, sometimes those that cry out may not be in the right office. Now if a deacon jumps up here in the church, and I'll tell you one thing, we need to quit this and quit that, he's out of his place. Song leader does it, even sometimes a visiting minister. Right. But at least give them credit. They've got a zeal. Because they don't want to see the church err. They don't want to see the church going into this, that, and the other. So many preachers don't have that no more. Or if they've got it, they bottle it all up. They'd rather have popularity than have zeal. I want zeal, but I want it according to wisdom, don't you? Now remember, keep in mind that if a singer, if a Levite, if any other person other than the right man would have done this, it would have not produced the desired results. But this man was a priest.
Hallelujah.
And he was inspired by Christ. Christ will never inspire you out of your position. Oh, my Lord. I said, Christ will never inspire you. Oh, I was anointed to do this. I was anointed. I'm not saying that you're not anointed. But the person of Christ will never inspire a woman out of her place. He'll never inspire a preacher out of his or a deacon out of his. When we get out of our place, don't you tell me the Holy Ghost led you to do it. Oh my, now watch this God of love. Boy, God's gonna whoop him now, ain't he? God's gonna bend him over and say, what are you doing killing one of my boys? I'll tell you one thing, you go down to reform school, I'm gonna straighten you out. Notice the way God looks at it. God said, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath. Now don't let this choke you, but Phinehas had done something that even Moses didn't do in this instance. This is why we still need to go to church. Don't you believe listening to tapes of Brother Branham and Brother Downey? Sure do. Listen to them all the time. But I know this. Everything that will be said has been said before and before and before and before and before. You re-listen to the same tape 25 times in a row, and it'll never be modified to fit your present condition. So we still need a ministry that's led of the Holy Ghost. Phinehas says that he still carried the javelin, so to speak, the sword of the Spirit, to be able to come and be led by the Holy Ghost to go right down the avenue of your life into your tent of prophecy and uncover things that only you and God know. Praise the Lord. And the tapes, thank God for them. Listen to them. Absolutely. Stay right there in them. But what was said in 1959, if you listen to it 1,000 years from now, it'll say it exactly the same way. But men of God in this day that say what the tapes say, and they'll stand up anointed by that same Christ, it'll bring that javelin right through the bedroom in your house, right through the closet, right through the living room, and it'll make it current, up to date with what you're dealing with right now. Right now. Oh my. Notice he says he has turned away my wrath from the children of Israel while he was zealous. Amen. For my sake. God took this personal. I mean, listen to how God is saying this. He done this for me. Amen. He was zealous for my sake. He done this for me. Amen. Lord Jesus. What a thing, Brother Darrell, for God to say about us. Lord, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Now look at the difference in zealous and jealous. What stopped the jealousy of God? The zealous, passionate desire of a preacher. A priest that stood in the right place, anointed with zeal. Amen. And that zeal from Christos, Christ, stood between the jealousy of God and the children of Israel. And it stalled the jealousy of God by the zeal of an anointed man in his position. Hallelujah! That stood right there and God said, it has so moved me. It has so moved me. It changed this attitude and this that I was going to do because of the zeal of this man. Who but Christ alone can turn the very heart of God. Oh Lord Jesus. Now remember, he's got the right descent and the right genealogy. He was the heir apparent of the office of the high priest. As it would be said of his type that would be mirrored thousands of years later, I have sworn and said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Glory. Notice, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not one man, and it wasn't even a prophet. Thank God for men of God today. I said, thank God for men of God today. Oh, hallelujah. Watch. His zeal was not for personal motives. It was not for trying to get even with this guy. His zeal was like something come and anointed him. It was for the house of God, the law of God, the dignity of God, the name of God, the honor of God, the trust of God. Where did this come from? He mirrored Christ.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Watch Psalm 69 verse 9. This is a messianic prophecy speaking of Jesus. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Sin is the very cause of wrath revealed from heaven. When the Lord Jesus came to the earth and went into the house of God, and he saw, he said, this is my Father's house, a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. What was he doing when he plied the whips and run them out? The zeal of the house of the Lord. Of course, if it had been modern day television preachers, they went through all their money changers there and said, give me so much and we'll let you hang around the church here. Pay tithes on this and we'll let you hang around. We'll let you open up a donut shop and a coffee shop and we'll have a clown shop and all kinds of shop. Mommy, why is there makeup shop and just everything in the world going on here? As long as you pay your tithes, sure, that don't really matter. That ain't a man of God. That's a Balaam. Oh my, so that's a Balaam. One man had caused the death of 24,000 people. One man in reverse stopped it in its tracks. Lord Jesus, one man by his teaching brought this upon the children of Israel. And one man, not because he stood up and taught, well, this times this, and the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, but by his life, by an action inspired by Christ. Who was it in Phineas? Christ. Who was it in Moses that stood there? Christ. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Don't tighten up on me because I said it wasn't a prophet. It wasn't. God had this done through another man other than the prophet of God. Look at this. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous. And literally in the Hebrew, it is zealous was my zeal. Phinehas had champions God's cause with God's zeal. This is why sometimes preachers can be bold on a line. Boy, the anointing gets off of them. They're like a little old pootie tad. They sure wish they hadn't said what they said, but whenever the champion's on them, you can't keep from saying it. When the champion is gone, you just hope you live to see the dawn of another day. Oh my, what was it on him, Brother Darrell? It was the very zeal of God himself. God said, this is what's come on. And he probably never felt this in his life. He might have been a backward sort of a guy. We don't know what he was, but look at the pattern of God. God used a man with the name of Noah. He wasn't a great intellectual guy, but he was a farmer. God didn't use a man like Samson, had shoulders like the size of a barn door. He's a little old curly-headed shrimp. Maybe this Phineas guy, maybe kind of backwards and didn't know how to speak, but all of a sudden something come on him and he stood up and they looked around and said, dear Lord, why in the world is happening to poor Phineas? He's a guy, don't even say a man of the church. He don't hardly do nothing. I don't know how in the world he'll ever be a preacher, but the Spirit of Christ moved on him. He ran over and grabbed a hold of that javelin, went inside that tent and thrust him through, and God leaped up from his throne and said, yes, 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 Phineas, you have stopped my wrath. Oh, hallelujah. Imagine old Phineas come to him and says, Lord have mercy, what have I done? I'm probably going to get killed for this. What in the world have I done? Christ anointed him. And then Christ moved away and our Phineas was standing and said, Lord Jesus, what have I done? He could not fold his arms and say, well, I don't agree with it, but what can I say? I mean, it's not politically correct to say anything anymore. Depends on whose camp you're in. Since we're not for the Democrat agenda here or the Republican agenda, we're for the agenda of God here. We don't worry about being politically correct. We worry about being God correct. Oh yeah, there's a lot of javelins go flying through this church from time to time, but they always hit the right one. Now if you get up and move around and you get hit, don't blame me. You should have been sitting still. Maybe you need to quit going to the bathroom so much. Get down there and sit still and keep your place. There's a lot of javelins flying through you. Now be careful. It ain't my fault if you get in the way of my javelin. Well, glory. Isn't it amazing? This zeal opens the windows of heaven. The plagues were boiling up on the earth, but they needed the windows of heaven to be opened up in mercy. And the zeal of this preacher, the zeal of this priest, reached up there and swung open the gates. And stop the plagues. Now watch God in verse 12. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Now if anybody needs peace, it's a preacher who throws javelins. You actually need that more than you need friends. Because friends will come and go. People will come and go. Lord have mercy, children, if everybody here at church has been here for the 30 years I've been, you would have to have church 10 times as big. But some come, some go, some backslide, some get away from God, some you burn their hide, they go to hop around. You know, they, as I've said before, the message folks believe in a post to duty, but they carry post hole diggers in their back pocket. And then if you get on them real good and tight, to take them post hole diggers out and dig out that post and they carry it around with them somewhere else. And there's enough message churches around now. Instead of standing and taking correction, they dig them another hole and reset their post hole. And then they stay there for a year, two, 3 or 6 months, whatever more. That preacher makes them mad and then they get your post hole diggers out. What you need to do is get away them post hole diggers. You change in churches like you change in grocery stores. You know, you need to realize and find where you belong with God and stay there. Stay there. Take the discipline of a javelin. Comes, whoo, boy, that was close, but it didn't hit you, did it? You see, the thing of it is, God is exactly right on target. And sometimes God, when he sends something, he sees tomorrow you're fixing to have a snare in front of you. And God didn't let it hit you, but he let it come by so fast it raised a hair upon the back end there. It was only a little bit of preventative medicine. Amen. So when that woman flirted with you tomorrow, you say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Whenever an evil opportunity was presented to you, that javelin coming by on the side of your head and cut 3/4 of your sideburn off, you remember that service and say, thank you, Lord. Maybe I look at it wrong, but to me, I'd rather have a nick in my sideburn than be decapitated. I'd rather have part of my sideburn removed tonight than my finger cut off tomorrow. Look what God, what a strange reward to give a cold-hearted, unforgiving murderer. Now, I'm talking about the way people would judge him. God looked at this man and said, he's one of my heroes. Hallelujah. Now I realize Phineas wouldn't be welcome in a lot of churches today. He would never be invited down to the large church or the Smiley Preacher in Texas. He'd never be able to go here and there and there. I'm not sure he'd be welcome in Happy Valley. Really, boy, some of y'all looking at me tonight. He'd be welcome as far as I'm concerned. What's he done? He, by obeying, how could God receive this act as an atonement? An atonement. The only way would be if the very person who would eventually become blood would step in his personage and inspire this act. This was Christ before he was made flesh. Just like it was Christ that anointed Aaron to go through with the incense and stop the other plague. How can it be stopped? Christos stepped on the scene. You'll agree with me that God anointed his Malachi for messenger in this last stand. It was Christ to stop the plague of death. Will you also agree with me that it is God, that same Christ that's anointing his pastors and his evangelists that are now trying to strike the churches with death. And that same Spirit of Christ will anoint a man and he'll come to and preach the word. And maybe saying, God, why do I have to preach that? God, I didn't want to go that way. But yet there was death striking this individual and that individual. And by that anointed man standing in that office, what did it do? It released you from the pangs of death. Instead of cutting you off from God, it released that hold of the enemy on your life. Oh, thank God. Why? It's still Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at this. I found this in history. I thought it's so amazing. The reward given to Phinehas was that his descendants would enjoy possession of the priesthood. That priesthood continued except for the interval of the priesthood of Eli without interruption into the collapse of the nation in 586 BC. Because of the zeal of one man, God gave to his posterity the priesthood. Now God had said it would come to Aaron, but he hadn't chose which son yet. It's yet to be determined. So it wasn't the guy that used the most Brill cream and the guy that had the biggest smile and the guy that had the biggest Cadillac. And it was the guy who, it was determined. Now here's God. It's all right, Aaron's going to come down through there. And Moses thinking, Lord, which son will it be? Which one will come down through there? And God said, I'm just waiting. I'm just kind of waiting in these troublesome times to see if I got a man, if I've got another, and if I've got another one. I'm just kind of waiting to see who will be anointed with Christos. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we want to walk on water. We want to raise the dead. We want to heal the sick. Anybody want to be anointed by this? If God had 100 pounds of gold laying here before you and said you can have that 100 pounds of gold or take gold in your life, which will be trials, which one would you take? Praise the Lord. Now most of us don't want trials. Hey buddy, I don't either. I'm looking to escape everyone I can escape. But in reality in my soul, I want what God wants for me. If it's trials and tests and humiliation, if I have to stand up, if I've been forced and I've done it before and I'll do it again, if God give me the strength to do it, if I have to stand and grab a hold of the javelin and throw it, I'll throw it. Is there anybody that wants to stand with me? I said, is there anybody that wants to stand with me, Brother Darrell? If you got to throw it out in the field, buddy, throw it. We don't want to just be liked by everybody. It's just a jellyfish, a pushover. My goodness, it don't ever preach against sin and say nothing against, make anybody mad. The gospel has to cut us all. And it ain't just cutting you. It starts here. It starts with a man preaching it. Oh, my. Now, what you think of this? Phinehas had no idea this reward was coming to him. He didn't do it. I'll tell you what, God, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll give me the priesthood now forever, if you'll let me have it, I'll stand up here and blow. I'll take persecution for you, Lord. I'll stand. That was not his motive at all. All he knew was he felt somebody. It was almost like they stepped in him. You preachers know what I'm talking about. There's times I stand up here and maybe the first 15 minutes or 20, or it might be the middle 15 or 20, or it might be the end 15 or 20. The only way I know to explain it to you is like this. It's like another person steps inside of me and they're looking out my eyes and they're using my mouth and I don't have no idea what they're saying, but it is so glorious and I'm overwhelmed for 10 or 15 minutes, whatever it is, that special something. You brothers know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden it leaves you and then you revert back to your giftly anointing. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden he comes and he says what he wants to say. He says it, and then he leaves you and there you are. You're still anointed with your gift being anointed as you was before he came. And you sat there and you wonder, wow, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it come from. It was the same one that anointed Moses. It was the same one that anointed Phinehas. It was the same Christ that anointed Brother Branham. The same one that anointed Luther. If he's not the same, we might as well quit serving him. If we don't have the same Christ right here today, oh sure, we're not going to do discernment. That's that's not our promise, but our promise is the prophet of God said that same Logos is here anointing sons of God. Question answer 64. That same Christ is right here tonight. What for? To lead you out of death, to lead you out of sickness, lead you out of bondage. Glory to God. Remember, Phineas, he was with Moses when God told Moses, vex the Midianites. Vex them. He wasn't afraid of battle. Now, I go to the hospital tomorrow, as I've been 3 days this week. And if I go through there, and I start at the top floor and work my way down, or bottom floor and work my way up. And I go down through every room and I start praying for people. There's lame, blind, halt, crippled, all kinds of diseases. In 15 minutes, once I leave, they're all emptied out. Then I leave that hospital and come down here to Elizabeth. And then the next day, I go to the nursing homes. I'd find my face again in the John City Press, wouldn't I? Except this time they'd be saying some different things. Now, which would be easier, this time or last time? Why? You're not throwing javelins. You're throwing them at devils. You see, the problem is when you go throwing them at devils, that's in the people. It gets so close that it hurts them. But as long as you're showing it to some demon, I'll tell you one thing that nobody can see, and he inhabitates nobody's body, and he's away from everybody. Oh, yes, sir, buddy, we're behind you. Go ahead, slay them devils. But if them devils get in people, and you have to really get at you where the habitation of the devil is, oh, my, that's a total different story. Now, what about it, Mr. and Miss Phineas? Do we want to identify with Christ in this way? I do. Listen, what God goes on to say in verse 13. He shall have it. No ifs, ands, buts, perhaps. And he shall have it. And his seed after him. Even the covenant of an ever. Oh. So here we have a man with an everlasting priesthood. Glory! The covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because his hair is parted so nice. He's got one of the most beautiful smiles I've ever seen in my life. His suits are so nice, and boy, I tell you what, he's so prim and proper, and he never hurts anybody's feelings. Because he was zealous for his God. And made Lord Jesus an atonement. Lord God. Made an atonement. Zealous for his God. You see, the word Phineas means the face. The face of him that spares. Glory to God. The face of him that spares. Don't you see what Christ was? He gave a visible presence to the invisible God. Christ was the face. The face of him that spares. How? In through the face. And this is how the glory of God is seen. In the face of Jesus Christ. So your Phineas was anointed. Oh, praise be to God. What was it? His very name signified who he was anointed by. Praise be to the Lord. Oh, children, may we also be the same way. May we as the people of God not just let sin come in and take over our lives, our family, our church, but may we spare it from taking over. Oh, thank you, Lord. The face of him that spares. Oh, Christ being the face of God, the express image of the invisible God. How could he make an atonement? the face of him that spared was in the face of him that spared. Glory. You understand? So if you would have wanted to see Christ, where would you have looked? You'd have looked at Moses, you'd have looked at all that. But presently, look in the face of him that spares. And you'll see the face of him that spares. And people, why they don't listen to this church and any other Methodist church and Baptist church. If you want to find the face of him that spares, you better look in the face of him that spares. Then the compromise and then they'll let you do whatever you want to do. You ain't going to find Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the anointed God right there in that presence. Come on. They might shout a little bit and jump around, but I don't want that. I want more than blessing. I want the face of him that spares. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Look again, God says in verse 13 about this priesthood and this covenant of peace. He shall have it. I just don't mind telling you, friend, when God says it, there ain't nothing going to stop it. It's done. And his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Do you understand? When you and I come under the covenant of the face of him that spares, the order of Melchizedek, we are made kings and priests unto our God. And if the heathen wants any rain in the millennium, if they live in my district, they'll have to come and ask me. And if they don't go to church, I'll tell them no. That's right. That's what the Bible says. If they don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles, then they won't get no rain on their crops. I preach going to church here. I also believe the same thing in the millennium. You want rain? Come to the Feast of Tabernacles. You want fellowship with God? Assemble yourself together in the house of God. Amen. The same principle of God will be carried right on through eternity. Boy, Brother Donnelly, I get tired of going to church 3 days a week. Well, it proves to me you're not a city resident. Because in the eighth day, we live in church. Amen. In the eighth day, the bride lives in the house of God. She don't want to go nowhere else. Why? She is the house of God. She's in the face of him that spares. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, look at the love of our loving God. What did he do? He brings the face of him that spares and takes the invisible image of God and gives it a visible expression. And our Phineas takes, he don't just destroy man and woman, but he does this. This day I give my life for my bride. Not an Arnold von Wink Lord, but the Lord God from heaven. Hallelujah. Throw your javelin, Satan. And here come the javelin of death. And it stayed the plague on God's elect. And when he raised from the dead, paradise was emptied out. What was it? A sign it had been stayed. Now they could go up into the sixth dimension right beneath the altar of God. Wow, how was it? From the face of him who spared. Look at him hanging on the cross. Oh my, such excruciating pain. And one hanging there, please, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. In the face of him that spared. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. What did he see? The face of him. That spared. What do you see when you look? That's what I see when I look. Amen. I don't see an angry God, a mad God. I don't look for a God throwing javelins. I mean, you ain't going to find me in no tent, no Midianitish woman. I ain't looking for javelins. I'm looking for rainbows. Amen. I'm looking for blessings. Yes, matter of fact, I'm trying to find a bigger cup and saucer because the blessings of God you're running over in my life. Brother Donnie, don't you get no trials? And yet about 10,000 years, come sit down with me. I'll tell you about something. But I'll tell you what, my blessings outweigh my troubles. all the goodness of God. Oh, I know, friend, we can go through all the things of life, but you have got so much to be thankful for even in the midst of your trials. You may be fighting sickness in your body and in all kinds of things in your home, but look around and see the light that's shining on you. Look around and see you could still have that same sickness and be sitting in some denominational church too. You're not the only one that fights sickness and battles. They fight it too. But you fight it with light. You fight it with the grace of God. You fight it with the face of Him. Hallelujah, that spares. And one day your priest, your king, will look upon you with the face who spares, and He will spare you from the tribulation.
That's right. Amen.
He'll look upon you and He'll spare you from tribulation, and He'll send your theophany. Therefore, what happens if you've died and entered into the theophany? The theophany comes to the earth and picks up the redeemed body. And if you're still here, you take the body to meet the theophany. You take the body. You, the same you that's taking it to church now. The same you that's making it obey the word. That same you will take your body to meet the theophany. Boy, happy day. Oh, happy day. And I said, theophany, how are you doing? I've been waiting to see you for a long time, and all of a sudden we merged together. How did I do it? The face of Him who spares. He spared me from the judgment of the tribulation. He spared me from the seal of the mark of the beast of a denomination. Aren't you glad, children? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. And He says to you, you will have it. You will have it. When you need rapture and faith, you will have it. When you need your body changed, you will have it. And it will be yours forever. I make my covenant of peace with you. Mrs. Shalom. Shulamite is the feminish of Solomon. So it's Mr. and Mrs. Solomon. And Solomon means peace. Remember them days in your life when you had no peace and you was lost without God? Not only now does God give you peace, but He makes you peace. Why? You found favor in the face of Him who spares. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. How are we spared tonight? For the sake of our Phineas. Imagine the rest of the children of Israel, tens of thousands of them. How grateful they must have been for that one man. They must have come up to him after that and said, thank you, brother. Thank you for sending it for us. I didn't know what we was going to do. I didn't know what to even do myself. I so tore up. Thank you, brother, for standing. Thank you for stopping the plague. A true servant of God, of course, bows his head in shame. He don't beat his chest with his hands like a monkey and think how proud and how great he is. But a true servant bows his head to the dust of the earth and says, oh, it ain't me. It's the face of Him who spares. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing, children, when we get there that day, there'll be all kinds of preachers, no doubt, we'll walk up to and say, thank you, brother. You come by our church one time, and I was really struggling with something. You're just preaching away, and all of a sudden, you just went down that certain avenue, and it described my situation. I was headed for a terrible, terrible downfall. But God used you to stop the plague. Praise God. Praise God. Mothers, God can use you to stop it in your children. Dads, God can use you to stop the plague of death in your home. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray, Lord Jesus. I trust tonight every person here, those under the sound of my voice, are under the shelter and the protecting eyes of the face of Him who spares. So many years ago, the plague of death had broke out among us. It was the first one of your race, the first one of your children. He sold himself out. Again, it was with a woman. They went into the tabernacle of unbelief. He took her to himself. Oh God, we're so grateful that the very heart of God was so moved. You would not continue to let this reign over your children. Even in this day when your children pass, they're not dead. Oh, we may roll them up here in a casket. It breaks our hearts as we say goodbye to them. We say, well, cancer won. Oh, no. Cancer never won. For the cancer that was in that body that eat up the tissue and the organs and the muscles and whatever more, and the life and now that body, that cancer in that body died. But the soul that was in that body flew away to a theophany. So the cancer didn't win. The believer won. Amen. Praise God. For the cancer that lived in that body, them cells and all that, it died. But the soul of that believer was met by a wife, a husband, a child, whatever more. Praise God. As I've sent a testimony the other day, Lord, of dear old saint down in Florida. Well, they were sitting in the room with her. Well, the brothers, she a message believer, and another brother, a message believer, sitting there. And there's some other people in the room. And as he looked, sitting on the bed, there was a young man that he didn't know. Dark eyes, dark hair. Scared the man. Even the nurse that was in there said she felt energy from something. I guess that was her way of describing it. Then, Lord, when the sister passed, they went to the church for the viewing and the funeral. And the family had placed pictures up on the board. And this man walks up and goes to scanning through the pictures. And that was that young man that he saw sitting on the bed, which he'd never met in his life, which had died many, many years before. And the brother nearly passed out. There he was, this woman's brother who'd gone on years and years before. She's fixing a crossover the next morning. You sent somebody down by the river to be waiting on her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was it? She'd found favor in the eyes of him who spares. Oh, glory. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, I hold in my hand this prayer cloth for this brother Oliver up in Michigan, dear God. You see the reports that the doctors have told him. Father, they requested this. I'm asking you tonight in the name of Jesus that you'd move on the behalf of our brother. Lord, because the doctors give us a report, that report is not necessarily our absolute. That's the best that they know. We have an absolute that supersedes what the doctor says. Amen. We may look in the eyes of a doctor and coming from the face of a sincere man, and he says, you ain't got but 3 months to live. But we're looking upon the face of him who spares. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, I pray you'd move for my brother. Lord Jesus. Lord, Brother Darrell, I want to pray for Brother Benton today. Dear God, you see our brother, what he's been through, having the first surgeon, having another one yesterday. We pray for our brother tonight, God, that you'd strengthen him in his body, Father. May you come and just undergird him with your power, Lord God. Touch him, I pray. Lord, and also Sister Betty Waller, Father Carol and I are going to visit her today, and you see this situation, Lord, having to put the shunt in her head, and Lord, this aneurysm on her brain. But yet, Lord, she told us today that she just believed in God. She wasn't afraid. She's believing that God had control of her life. I pray you'd watch over our sister, Lord. We know there's others that's been sick. Brother Jim Babb and different ones still not feeling well. Lord, may the angel of God move among us tonight. Oh, the devil may show his old face and he may grit his teeth and snarl at us. But we're looking beyond his old ugly face. And we're seeing the face sweeter than any mother's smile. It is the face of him who spares. Lord Jesus, minister healing to your children tonight. Encouragement, Lord. We love you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got a little brother that's going to come and be baptized tonight. He'll come. Brother Darrell, you'll come. Prepare for it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. children, as it was so many thousands of years ago when the angel of death was moving through the land of Egypt. You imagine the firstborn children as they'd hear the screams because Goshen was right next door to where they were. Maybe a little Hebrew boy had a friend that was an Egyptian and he could hear his voice. He said, "Daddy, am I going to live? Daddy, am I going to live? Daddy, am I all right?" He'd say, "Son, we've obeyed what that prophet said. We've applied that blood to the door. So we want to look to the face of him who spares. And the death angel will pass." Oh my. In this day, it's spiritual death. Ichabod written over the churches. Ichabod written over people's lives. How are we going to be spared, Brother Larry? The token. The token. The Lamb's identification. Not a blessing. Not shouting. The personal life of the Lamb. Anointing you. Anointing me. To live an anointed life. You love Him. Let's just worship Him together, can we? Sing something today, just for a couple minutes while they're preparing for the baptism. May God anoint us. Oh, friends, don't worry. God will never make you try to stand in the place of a preacher. You sisters will never have to stand up and do what a preacher's got to do. You brothers, but you just stand where God's anointed you to stand. Just be your Phineas housewife, or you young person going to college, and oh, you know, well, I just testified to one person, and they questioned where I went to church. Well, I didn't do much. You never know what you've done. You just stand right there, and God look at you and say, "You're part of the Melchizedek priesthood. I give it to you forever. I give you a permanent residence in the city of gold." Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Aren't you glad we did? Let's sing it together now. Mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh yes, I should have fallen. Hallelujah. My soul cast down, but mercy, it rewrote my life. God's mercy has rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Landon Davis, dad called me the other day and said he wants to be baptized by the guy that baptized the other kids. That would be me, and it's a real honor to baptize this little fellow tonight. And we're just so grateful for what the Lord's done in Brother Davis's family.
Amen.
He whose faith spares has certainly visited his home. We're grateful
Glory.
For that. Let's just bow our heads.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Our merciful Father.
Yes, Lord.
There is no love like your love, God. We are so grateful that you touch our hearts, Lord, and change our lives. Spare our children, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, as we stand here in the water with our little brother, I ask, dear God, that your hand would be upon him, Lord. May he be a good little fellow, Lord, at home, and his family and his brothers and his sisters, a fine example of a little Christian, Lord, we pray. We just give his little life into your hands, Lord. And if time should tarry, may he pack the sword, Lord, and throw the javelin as our brother has preached this evening, Lord. And he may be a mighty warrior for thy name's sake. Just give his life into your hands for your glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Little brother Landon, hallelujah. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let me assure you, it's not just a preacher that'll throw the javelin. Sometimes it may be some of your brothers in your home, you husbands, you fathers, that you'll get sick and tired of Satan ruling your home and dominating your life. And you throw that down and say, no more. Our family's going to have a standard. Our family, we're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. You see, friends, Brother Branham can't do that for you. No, that's not degrading, Brother Branham. I can't do that for you as your pastor. I can preach it to you, but it'll be left up to you husbands, be left up to you wives, you mothers, to set that standard in your home. You sisters, stand there. Amen. Teach your children by example. Teach them by the word of God and throw that javelin down. I'm not letting my children go to the world. I'm not giving them up and let Satan do what he wants. I will not allow it.
Amen.
Come on. The Holy Ghost is here to enforce the promise of God.
Amen.
What good's a law in our land? Somebody comes in here and go to interrupt the peace and they want to drink in the church and this and that and other. If our deacons can't handle it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the police.
Amen.
Brother Donnie, you wouldn't. You watch and see. I will do it, and I'll stand my tongue, let them pack them to jail, and then we'll resume the service. You mean it won't hinder you? Won't hinder me at all. That's what the law is for.
Amen.
God gives his word, and then he sends the Holy Ghost to enforce the promise.
Amen.
And he tells the devil, devil, get off. And the devil said, I ain't moving. And God said, all right, Holy Ghost, take care of him. Ow, ow, ow. But you've got to stand there and say, off, devil, you're trespassing.
Amen.
You're trespassing in my mind, in my body, in my home, and at your, out of here, devil. Praise God. Take that javelin, Phineas. Oh, praise God. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. Go in the fear of God. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan.
is mine. Healing today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Healing today is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost today, He is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. The Holy Ghost today is mine. The rapture is mine. The rapture is mine. The rapture today is mine. I told Satan, the rapture today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today it is mine. I told Satan, mine. Victory is mine. Victory today. Yeah.